Pán Bôh, jeho Bôh, jeho tvojím srpo. Amen. Moses answered the people and said, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the salvation the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." This past week has been a nightmare again for the Armenian people and the Armenian nation. It is a nightmare that we have been living for 9 months. It is the same nightmare we lived 3 years ago. It is the same nightmare we lived 30 years ago. It is the same nightmare we lived 108 years ago. It is the same nightmare we have lived for centuries before that. Again, we have come to the realization and the reality that no one in this world cares for us. We have come to the reality that there is no one coming to help us. There is no one coming to save us. And there are even more people that do not even know the situation that we are in. Many people will ask the following questions. Why? Why doesn't anybody help? Why doesn't anybody care? Why does God, we ask, why does God allow this tragedy and potential genocide and ethnic cleansing to happen? Why has he abandoned us? Why is he not helping us? Why? In the current tragedy that is unfolding today in Armenia and in Artsakh, in Nagorno-Karabakh, there are two truths that we must understand and realize. The first is that all of this was brought upon us by us. We brought this upon ourselves. We may not like it, but it is the truth. For 30 years, we have not prepared for this moment. For 30 years, we have been consumed with other priorities. For 30 years, we have been consumed with making sure governments recognize the Armenian genocide while the wolf is sitting at our front door waiting to come in. For 30 years, we have put our hope in other countries and other governments. For 30 years, we have said, America's going to come and help us. Russia is going to come and help us. Europe is going to come and help us. India is going to come and help us. Iran is going to come and help us. And today, they have not come. Today, we are left by ourselves once again. Today, we have to realize that we cannot put our hope in foreign governments and treaties. The only one we can put our hope in is God himself. When we realize that, many things will change. The second truth we have to realize is that in this very dark hour that the Armenian people are living today, at the prospect of another genocide being perpetrated against them, God has not abandoned us. God is with us and he is fighting with us, alongside us. On Wednesday night, when we heard the news of what had happened and we decided we were going to have a prayer service in the church, one of the services that we do in the Armenian church and in the monasteries is called the Peace Hour. Chagagagan Jamekutu, the Peace Hour service. And in that service, the very first song that is sung, called Shnoria Mezde, "Grant to us, O Lord," we sing a hymn that has more than 15 or 20 times in it a phrase, "Zi Asvaz Ant Meze," "For God is with us." Emmanuel, "For God is with us." This is something we need to realize when we ask the question, where is God in all of this? This truth has to be reiterated constantly in our schools, in our streets, in our homes, in our churches, in our hearts, and in our lives. The truth is that God does not abandon those who are in his hands. But those that are in his hands very often abandon him. And this is where we are today. The question naturally arises now, what's next? What's our next step? What are we supposed to do? First, we need to understand that our only hope, our only salvation is found in Jesus Christ. Once we figure that out, everything will fall into place. Only God can save us at this moment. Again, too long, for too many years, we've heard the same thing. We have put our trust in foreign governments, in treaties, in politicians, in personalities, in egos, hoping that one day they are going to save us. These are all humans. And I prefer divine help over human assistance any day. But to receive God's help, we need to become God's people. We need to repent, and not the English word repent, the Greek word repent, metanoia. We need to change our mentality. We need to change our mind. And we need to ask for forgiveness from God for all the mistakes we have committed, and for abandoning him, and for disobeying him for centuries. And at the same time, we must offer forgiveness, not just to our enemies, but to our brothers and our sisters in our church. Because so many people hold grudges against people in our parish, and we expect forgiveness from God when we can't even forgive the people next to us. Now, naturally, there's going to be people out there, and I used to be one of them, who would say, but Gerhard, we're the first Christian nation. 301, have you forgotten? We're the first ones to accept Christianity as a national religion. God would never allow this to happen to us. God will be on our side. He chose us. He picked us over the Jews even. Well, we have failed miserably in being the first Christian nation. We have failed miserably, and we continue to fail today. We don't bring our children to church because it's too long, or we don't understand it, or they don't want to come, or it's their only day they get to sleep. Our dance practices, which I love, for our Armenia Fest, there's almost 65 kids there. How many of them come to church on Sunday? Maybe one, two if we're lucky. Where are the rest of them? Our youth that play sports every evening of the week. How many of them go to the gym next door? How many of those come into the church to pray once? Maybe two of the dozens that go there. Parents don't attend church because they have laundry to do. They have shopping to do. They have other responsibilities at home to do. So they put God on the back burner and do everything else. They allow a dirty piece of underwear to come in between them and their relationship with God. That's what it comes down to. We have parents that don't see the importance of baptism. Of the 45 children in our school today, 17 of them are not baptized. 17 of them are not baptized. We have couples who are about to get married and have been living together for years before marriage. And when we say something, oh, it's how the world is today. What am I supposed to do? You're the mother. Say something. You're the father. Say something. We have priests, bishops, and Catholicoses who prefer the alphabet, the language, and the culture over our faith in God. We have politicians who care for their profit and for their own glory at the expense of the Armenian people and in opposition to God's glory. This is our people. And I ask you, does this look like God's people? Do we act like God's people? Do we do what God wants? I don't think so. I have more expectations from our people than this. But everything is not lost. Everything is not lost. We just need to put our priorities first. And we need to turn to God and change who we are and return back to being God's first Christian nation. The only comforting words I have today are the same words that I started this sermon with. As the Israelites were fleeing Egypt, and they come to a Red Sea and are about to cross, but there's no way to cross, and the Egyptians are coming from behind to destroy them in their pursuit, they cry out and they say, "What are we to do?" And Moses turns to them, just as we ask now when the Azaris are coming after us, "What are we to do?" Moses' words should ring in our ears when he says, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the salvation the Lord will bring to you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Amen.